There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Knee-high.
And the taps are too close to the thing, you can't get your hand under it, and they don't run to any sort of temperature, and it often blocks.
Are you rolling?
Esther's farted. Did the whoopee cushion go in last week's podcast? Did we talk about it?
We talked about it at the beginning.
Did it go in?
Sound of the whoopee cushion didn't go in, but with the...
So this week...
You nailed
it. Go back to last week and edit that in. That was terrific. You see, that is the level of humour you get. Giles Corran has no idea, but he knows how to lay a whoopee cushion.
It's true, you know how to plant a whoopee cushion.
Took Sam today for his last ever day at junior school. Wasn't that emotional because he's only been at that one for a year, but they were all looking a bit emotional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you've been there since reception.
Yeah.
Super emotional. I tell you what, I feel for the kids who are isolating, who are at home, off school, missing the end of term. I think it's just so sad.
And why is everyone suddenly isolating? I mean, I don't want to make light of the pandemic. It's terrible, terribly sad, and everyone died. But I mean... So look, Waity Katie, what's her name? Kate Middleton. She's now isolating because she went to Wimbledon. I don't really understand.
Because it's a farce and it makes no sense.
It is. And very, very similar, slightly higher level of sport. My fives was cancelled on Monday. My old man fives, the Monday nights with a K, who play on Monday nights. Fuck off, both of you. That's very important, high level fives. And they had to isolate, not least
Monday
because...
Monday nights with a K!
Knights in... Raggedy sports kits.
It's not raggedy. When a public school boy plays sport, he plays in day clothes that are no longer...
Yes, I think you take it a little bit too far.
Do you see? Do you think so?
I think you do.
I play my old jigsaw summer suit.
You're in...
from the 1984...
My Agnes B. linen trousers.
I just cut them off at the
knee. Cut off at the knee.
That's what... With gardening gloves and Spanish desert boots.
Your insistence for a long time to use as your sports kit my... floral oilskin Kath Kidston weekend bag. I just couldn't really take.
Now I'm finally confident in my sexuality.
So you're using a Cardo bag like everybody else.
No, but I've taken the flowery bag to see who's going to say something. Nobody does. They all go nice bag.
Yeah.
Because the world has changed and for the better. And the point is, I want to turn this back to the thing. So my fives was cancelled. But admittedly, you have to isolate because they're all 90, so they'd all die. But still, one of them got pinged, cancelled. Cricket, ping, cancelled. I've had so many things not happening, and it's such horseshit. And now they're deciding, aren't they, whether in the papers today, whether they're going to stop the thing of having to isolate, but they're waiting to the middle of August.
Yes, it's now. I mean, everyone's isolating because because COVID cases in younger people are just going through the roof. It's something like 6,500. You know,
650,000.
Yeah, 650,000 pupils off school. At the moment, this week.
All missing their last day because...
All missing their last day and the last week and whatever meagre jollity the schools are allowed to put on, they're missing it all. And it's really tragic and my heart goes out to them.
And so it all ties in rather column-wise, whether I want to really do it and just leave... I could leave it to the more... I don't want to use the word boring, some other word, columnists, to do that. But since the announcement that... it's going to be up to you whether you wear a mask. The drawing up of the battle lines on Twitter has made, and social media generally, because you see it, and even though you're not on Twitter, don't you, has made the social media even less tolerable than it has been. They invented virtue signalling as a thing a couple of years ago. Now they've got this thing which is the virtue signal, the mask, and it's now the battle. Nobody is halfway. Everybody is either rip it up and to the Julia Hartley Brewer, the Toby Young, the Delling Pole, or even by describing their names, you're saying...
Freedom!
You're saying that they're all nutters with woad faces, but still, they're all going like, just the mask burners are all cocker, and they're all saying, got to open up, got to save the economy. But that's them. And then there's the ones, I'm going to keep on wearing the mask. And all the ones who think it's not about money. And they're all the comedians and people, they're all making this, because they're all, well, the BBC comedians anyway. It's all the mask, you wear the mask to protect other people. I will be wearing my mask. I don't care. I'll be wearing it forever. And it is now, there's no middle ground. Everyone is so absolutely certain either that they'll never wear a mask again or that they're going to always wear it forever. And I find it weird because... surely both of those polarities are ones that should exist within your mind. Like Brexit, it's become like Brexit. Surely Brexit, the reason it was 50-50 is because we all thought, man, maybe it's a good idea,
right,
maybe it's
exactly.
not a good idea. I don't know. And that's why it came out of 50-50. Same thing with masks. I think, get rid of all of this shit. It's ridiculous. We've got to get the economy back on track. Let's all go out and have a, you know, it doesn't kill you anymore, so let's get out there. And, although I also think, I don't want another lockdown. Maybe we should all wear them for a bit. That's what you should think. You should think both. And yet everybody thinks one or the other.
The problem with mask wearing is that so few people do it properly now as to render it just kind of faintly pointless.
I was in a restaurant the other day and it was really, really small and there wasn't that much room. And I was sitting right next to the person I was eating with who I didn't really know because she'd won me in a competition, poor woman. We were eating close to it.
Second prize, yay! Two lunches with Giles Gore.
Hey, fuck you. And it was quite a nice restaurant. And then the waitress came and she had to squeeze right in by. So she was touching me. She was literally touching me, which in former times was a thing you were kind of hoping might happen in a restaurant. But in this occasion, she was touching me. And it was a Greek restaurant. And she said, I have anyone on board the economy yakis. And I went, what was that? The economy with the yakis. I go, and then she pulls down the mask. Yeah. And says it to me, and like quite a bit of spit goes in my eye, and then she puts the mask back on, and you think, I'm not sure. This is like, this is bollocks. Because I went to the football yesterday, so for clarity,
which game was that?
This was I went to Italy Spain. This is Wednesday morning, so the England game is tonight. Producer Ben is in his England shirt, lovely red England shirt. You have to. You're going to have to go sing one line of it, Football's Coming Home.
No, don't make him do that.
It's coming home. So last night at the football, there's so much to say about it, but I went to the France-Italy game. It was brilliant. Penalty shootout, went with Sam, went with his best friend, his dad.
I do believe you went to the Spain-Italy game, not the France-Italy.
I've been calling it the France-Italy game all the time. I can't really tell those countries apart. In fact, I spent a lot of time after my...
Spoken like a true Brexiteer.
After my fifth pint of Heineken at the game, I was sitting there trying to think whether Spain and Italy had a border. And obviously they don't, but because there's France between them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking how funny it was because you think of France being... like they become increasingly Mediterranean. There's the French who are a bit like us. Then the Spanish who are a bit more Mediterranean. And then are the Italians, and they're very, very... And I thought, how weird, you would have thought it would go France, Spain, Italy in terms of... This was the thought I was having, not really paying attention to
the
football.
I see what you mean. You have discounted the south of France, where they're all very Mediterranean.
Yeah. But are they in between Spain and Italy? No.
Yes.
I'd have said a Spaniard was halfway to an Italian.
How many people from northern Spain have you ever met?
What, the Pyrenees?
Well, Milan, the Milanese are not...
Did you say Spain or Italy?
I said...
You said the north of Spain.
Milan isn't in Spain,
it's not
is
in
it?
The north of Spain,
Madrid's
no.
in Spain, in the north.
It is. It takes just...
Valencia.
I do hope they don't. They send their children back from school again, because you can take the geography lessons. You did a geography A-level, didn't you? That was good. Have you ever met anyone from northern Spain, like Milan?
That was a bit embarrassing, actually.
No, it's fine. It wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah.
Ben loves you, so he'll just go back and put in Spain where it's to make me look stupid. So anyway, no, it's about the football. There were so many things to say about it. But first of all, there were quite a lot of England fans. So every now and again, when the match got boring between the Spanish and the Italians, there were suddenly these outbursts of, it's coming home, it's coming. And at the bar at halftime, everyone's queuing up for the pints. And there's a lot of lots of people in Spanish and Italian kit, but you think they're all Spanish and Italian. And then they all go, it's coming home, it's coming. And then what was interesting on the ground, the Spanish and the Italian fans all it. They boo the song because basically everyone is playing for the right to play England because we'll play Denmark tonight, and although it hasn't happened, it'll be 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. And so the England fans were like sleeper fans, so they keep going, it's coming home, it's coming. And then the Italians and Spaniards together. Woo! Like that, because they hate all the English fans. It's quite interesting. But what was...
I'm sure it's not that they hate the English fans. It's probably more that they're like, shut up.
Yeah.
I know it's Wembley, but I sort of feel faint in the same way. So,
But what was interesting...
Yeah.
...was that was the second big... And this ties into the fact that we're about to open up the borders, and they're talking in the papers today about the PCR tests and how there'll be different lanes at Heathrow for people to come in.
Yeah.
You can come back. It'll go green by July the 19th. We'll be able to go to front. All the testing will be rigorous. And I'm saying... Will it my arse? Because I've been to two events, the England One Day International against Sri Lanka and the Euro semi-final. And in both occasions, it told me, one of them I wasn't double vaxxed yet, so I got the lateral flow test, got it on the app. Last night's one, I had the double vaxxed. Remus, my friend, wasn't double vaxxed, so he had gone and got the flow test, put it in the thing. Okay. You have to take a photo of it in case you lose 4G, show it to them, all of these things. Got there on both occasions. Yeah, we don't care, mate. I said, oh, I've just got the vaccine. Yeah, mate, no one cares. Through you come. And I think that's going to be the same at the borders. They make you go through all that stuff, and they're working on the principle that 80% of people will do it and 20% of people will just go, yeah, whatever. And they will not test at all.
Yes, they are. Yes, they have to, yeah. Was that a column?
I don't know. No, it's just me wibbling on because I'm tired because I didn't get home till midnight.
Okay, fine. Can I present you with an actual column there?
Yeah.
Edward Lear's Undiscovered Limerick. Now, this is, by Saturday, this is going to be an old story.
Is it?
But, okay, so let me tell you what the story is.
Yeah.
This is a story from yesterday. It was a discovery.
There was a young man called Lear.
Yes.
The only rhyme is queer, and then you get into a whole culture wars thing, so exactly. Just forget it.
Okay, well, let me tell you
beer. What...
Let me tell you
when he'd had a
let me tell
of
you
beers.
What the story is. Let me tell you what the story is, yeah. Okay? The discovery.
It better end with me writing limericks.
I'm going to kill you if you don't let me speak.
Yeah. There was a young woman called Esther. Sorry. A producer from the West Country called Ben.
I hate you.
Laid an egg.
When we get divorced, I'm going to cite this as one of the reasons of your unreasonable behaviour. But I think in divorces, unreasonable behaviour is like way worse than just being a bit
he
annoying.
He kept trying to say limericks.
Yeah.
Fucker, says Fiona Shackleton is up there. I put it to you, my lord.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be great to have Fiona Shackleton as your divorce lawyer?
Yeah.
You would just go in there going, everything's going to be fine. Okay.
A wonderful lawyer called Shackleton. Fuck, that's a rod from my back.
There was an undiscovered Edward Lear limerick found by a University of Nottingham PhD student called Amy Wilcoxon.
A PhD student called Amy?
Amy Wilcoxon, in the British Library. Okay, she was
found
sifting.
Her work a little bit lamey.
She went
to the loo to do a big poo.
Do you know what? This is such a uniquely Westminster boy thing to do. I remember being at school and trying to talk to someone about something and they would do this and it was absolutely dementing.
Okay, I promise
I won't.
Are you
going to shut up
now?
Are you going to shut up? Okay.
Yeah. Tell me the story. Quick. Go. I mean, not quick. In your own time.
She noticed, while she was sifting through some manuscripts that were donated to the British Library, I don't know, 50 years ago or whatever, she noticed some pages written by Lear to a young English woman that he had befriended in Italy. Okay, do you want to hear... I keep saying, okay, I've got a really annoying verbal tick of going, okay, like Mr... What's it in South Park? Okay.
You've also got a story where a writer of Victorian nonsense stuff befriended a young woman in Italy, which is all for me. It's just like,
she was
whoa.
The daughter of a hosiery merchant. I think I feel it's faintly creepy.
A hosiery merchant?
A hosiery merchant. So he sold
Smith.
Sold tights.
Sold tights too.
Yeah. So Edward Lear met the heiress to a tights factory and wrote her a weird poem, which I'm going to read to you now.
So basically, this woman doing her research in the British Library found some limericks, new limericks by Lear.
Yeah, exactly.
That she thought...
One new limerick. Right. And it goes like this. There was an old man on a bicycle.
Oh, that's going to make life hard. That is hard. That is you've got to find, bicycle.
Whose nose was adorned with an icicle.
Hmm.
But they said, if you stop, it will certainly drop. And abolish both you and your bicycle.
Ah, you see, the famous actually all Edward Lear limericks are shit. For example, there was a young man from Quebec who was frozen in snow to his neck. When asked, is it hot? He replied, no, it's not. That curious man from Quebec. Mm. Fuck off. He's done such good AABB rhyme scheme, the whole thing, you've got to kill it with the fit. All Edward Lear's ones, all he's managed to do there is prove that bicycle rhymes with bicycle.
And icicle.
But everyone's got very excited about it. An icicle, anyway, well, is...
You know what? They actually sort of have...
Ricicle. They didn't have ricicles then. That's what I'd have done. I'd have gone with ricicle.
I thought the papers today would be full of... No one's touched it. Because I think basically everyone knows that Edward Lear's crap.
Because it was all big on the BBC yesterday. They did the story. They interviewed the woman. She's actually doing research into a little-known Scottish romantic poet. But came across this Edward Lear stuff. And now she goes back to do her normal research. And this was just by chance.
Lucky but, yeah. on her. But as we've seen in the last 5-10 minutes, you're quite good at limericks. Limericks also remind me of Matilda. I'm probably the only person in the world who really doesn't like the book Matilda. I really, really, really don't like that book. On reading it as an adult,
an old anti-Semite called Roald.
And he's just so...
hated Jews from when he was young to when he was old.
Yeah.
Those big-nosed. Anyway, yeah, okay. I don't like Roald Dahl because he's an anti-Semite.
I don't like Matilda. And she makes... One of the scenes in Matilda is she stands up and she makes up this limerick.
Right.
And she's just so precocious and nauseating. I just really can't stand her. Anyway, but you're quite good at rhyming and limericks. You know I love it when you write.
Can you remember
poems.
Who Stephen Norris was? Shagger Norris.
Yeah.
Do you remember Shagger Norris? Do you remember Shagger Norris, Ben? He was a big Tory. Because he would write. For example, there was a young royster called Boris who had a strong taste for a Doris. His desire for a bird was completely absurd. The randiest Tory since Norris. But it's not very funny because no one will remember.
Yeah, they will.
Will they remember him?
Well, I think you're mistaking your Times demographic for being several centuries younger than they actually are.
Oh, they'll be so old, they actually... My friend Edward Lear told me a limerick in 1892.
My godson, Edward Lear.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you seen Gareth Southgate's Elizabethan Manor House?
I have, it's amazing.
Yes, I don't understand.
What do you mean, you don't understand?
Well, he's a footballer, he's common. What would you want a castle for?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you mean only footballers?
Yeah.
Only? Through the keyhole of Gareth's ghostly haunt. Look at that, it's got an original, it's got a medieval knot garden.
There's never been anything more common than a medieval knot garden, even in medieval times.
It was literally only footballers who had them.
Yeah.
And they were the only people who got painted by Holbein. Oh, it's another fucking footballer.
Yeah. I mean...
But where's the hot tub? Where's the 29
Nouveau Riche is not a new thing. It's always been around. Yes, so what are you saying about you're quite fancy... are you wondering how he's got that much money? I think the Pizza Hut adverts bought that.
Also, it is in Yorkshire, so it probably cost about £1.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Would he ever go there? What's his Yorkshire connection?
Yorkshire's got some lovely... shopping towns in it for the missus.
Is it?
Yeah.
Harrogate.
The Harrogate, lovely.
You go to Betty's for tea.
Yeah.
Shows how much we know about North of England. Okay, fine. I just wanted to say, have you seen Gareth's massive house?
I saw his house and I think it's absolutely lovely, and I think that I can't think of anyone who deserves it more than Gareth Southgate, who I love.
I love him too, but I just imagine that, like, sort of Harry Kane or Marcus Rashford look at it and go, "Why, it's well old, man. What have you got that house for? Knock it down, guy." When I say doing that voice, that's not how Harry Kane speaks. If I could do impersonations. Exactly.
It's an excellent game. The boys, the lads are brilliant.
But it's a little bit deeper than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Gary's gone out there on the park, isn't it? He's playing through at the back, and he's. And they're all like, they're sort of suppressing the. It's great. He's played a blinder.
I remember in about 1996 when we all suddenly discovered what David Beckham sounded like. And we all just went, oh,
it's on account of my personality. David Beckham. Oh, no, well, don't talk like that anymore. I don't talk like that no more.
Victoria and I are going on holiday.
That's the Queen.
No, it's not. It's David
That's
Beckham.
That's your Queen. I've got a Queen story later, which I've got
Have
for you.
Have you?
Yeah, it's just so you can do an impersonation.
Okay.
But I bet it sounds just like your Victoria.
I can't wait.
Now.
Yes.
Bjorn Borg's
18-year-old
son Leo has won in his Wimbledon debut match in the junior men's singles. 41 years to the day since Bjorn, his dad, won his last title at Wimbledon.
Correct.
I thought there might be something in that about fathers and sons. You said you were a bit envious of a piece that I wrote earlier this week that was actually something sort of serious and heartfelt. And
I was trying to be nice. No, I wasn't. I'm sorry, darling, I wasn't. Your piece was brilliant.
You're literally, you're doing full teenage bully today. It's really odd. You've just kind of like, you've put on this kind of like, yeah. You know,
angry
quite
young schoolgirl
a lot.
Walker.
Quite a lot of the time, living with you is like living with the older teenage mean brother I never had. It's quite weird. And you're really going for it today.
No, I'm not. Every day, I resolve to come across as a bit nicer on the podcast and talk slower and let you get a word in. And look, you're right. I'm sorry. That was me being a twat trying to make a joke. And you know, because obviously I did really like that piece you wrote in the Times.
Thank you.
You wrote that piece, and it was all sort of actually about whatever it was. Fascinating. I can't remember what it was actually about. It was about bubbling and school bubbles and what a load of shit it was. Yes. And all your strong and important political opinions that you have, which I really respect. And it was excellent. And there it was with a big picture of you.
Oh, looking so.
You write a really serious picture. You write a really serious, excellent piece, haranguing the government, saying the policies. And they show a picture of you just after you've had Sam, looking at with funny clothes on, with making a funny face.
Just looking boiled. I had and my hair so bad. There was, oh my God.
It was like a photo shoot for a piece about how pregnancy is giving me a shiny nose.
Yes, exactly.
And then they stuck
what am
it
I
on
going
your...
to do about my giant, shiny face that looks like a sweaty cheese? And then they stick it on the end of my
and
hair.
And I said, I envied you because my pieces all have to be, oh, some limericks I've discovered. Yeah. There was a young queen called the Queen who really was awfully mean, and it's like totally pointless. And then you've written something you actually heartfelt. It's true. And
Which
then
is
when
much,
you...
much easier.
And see how when you reminded me that I'd said that on my stupid podcast, I just went, I was trying to be nice because that's the level I descended.
Defensive and
so you think I could write something actually heartfelt about Boris's son and being the son of someone?
Bjorn Borg's son, not
oh,
Boris
fuck it.
Becker.
I was late night. Boris
You're
Borg.
Like this when you've had 10 hours
I got
sleep.
France and Spain confused. Come on, you France! I shouted yesterday. Everyone looked around. Wow, he's cheering the third team. It's not as extraordinary.
But I thought Milan was in Spain.
Yeah,
so
it's
there
been,
you go.
It's been a fiery
okay,
morning.
You could, if you wanted to,
my
write...
dad was crap at tennis. What's the relationship? Tennis for my dad was his keep fit thing, largely on the basis that the hour he played tennis was the only hour of the whole day that he didn't smoke. And he played once a week, and for an hour he didn't smoke, and that's what kept him going all the way to 69.
Yeah.
He smoked on the way there, and he smoked at the end, but not when he's actually playing. And he was really proud of that, because I think in former years he'd stop for fag breaks during the game.
What did he do on aeroplanes?
Smoked.
But what about when he was banned on aeroplanes?
He stopped going anywhere. No, they bought a house in Nice the week that it was banned on aeroplanes, so they never have to go fly further than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And they just about managed it. And the reason they have those announcements on planes where they say, please don't smoke in the toilets, because you think, who the fuck would smoke in the toilets? Because my parents used to smoke in the toilets.
They're real finds, your parents, both of them.
Yes.
So, yes, if you wanted to write something about fathers and sons and following in your father's footsteps and how it seems, probably seems like a good idea at the time, but actually it's a kind of a rocky road and here's why. If you wanted to do that, if you were in the mood to do that, there's an idea for you. One more. It's actually a story that you gave me about the English elephant. Elephants raised in England going back to Kenya.
Elephant rewilding.
Yeah.
Bred in captivity on one of Aspinall's
This
zoo.
Is part of Aspinall's plan to rewild everything in the...
A thing they're trying to try and I mean, everyone is... There's a zoo debate anyway the last couple of weeks, and I love zoos, but there's a zoo debate... Like, did you have to cough? No?
That was, no, it was a yawn.
Oh, good. There's a thing with zoos, they should be brought to an end. Zoos should sort of stop and they should get rid of elephants. They shouldn't have elephants in zoos anymore. And everyone says we shouldn't have zoos. And there's an extent to which zoo people go, well, you need zoos to keep these animals because there aren't going to be any in the wild. And it's not like it was. It's not just for rolling up and looking at them. There are no, you have to breed them in the wild. And now they've started to put animals back into the wild. They've been bred in captivity. So the first gorillas have mated.
That's right.
Having been in captivity, they put them in the jungle and they mated for the first time, which had given me an idea for our holiday. That's broadly my hope for the summer. We'll go to Corsica and miraculously mate for the first time, having been in captivity. But I'm sure it won't work because usually it doesn't, and then you'll probably eat me. But anyway,
I think you'd be a bit tough.
So these elephants from Aspinall elephants are going to be this whole herd, or like about, it's quite a big herd, like 12 or 15. They're going to be sent to Kenya where they're going to rewild as a herd, and they say, and the people are saying it sounds a bit weird, but they'll have 6 months on a compound in Kenya, then they'll be allowed to roam, they'll go free, and they'll look after each other, so they'll be together. And I just thought it'd be quite funny to have like these elephants.
Yeah.
Oh hi, like, I'm Brian.
They were just trying to queue for everything and complaining about the tea and the insects.
Do you know where I can get an English paper?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? Well, you know, I just want to just see the football score. You're an elephant.
Yeah.
I'm not an elephant.
You're turning this into a talking dogs piece.
Well, what do you think it was going to be? Talking elephants.
Well, no, this would be a piece about being making fun of the British.
Go on.
Not about talking elephants. It's about the British elephants. Okay, so they want to queue for everything, and they complain about the tea, and that there are too many insects, and that it's too hot. They insist on eating outside, even if it's 35 degrees. If an African elephant steps on their foot, they apologise. When they say they are okay at tennis, it means they played at Junior Wimbledon twice. They want to know if there are any National Trust properties nearby, and they're obsessed with Sunday lunch.
I want to... Yes, the Sunday lunch could work, but I would be more inclined to make it about taking the piss out of English holidaymakers as we go into the holiday season. But it's very much, it's like, where can I get a proper cup of tea?
Yeah.
And these elephants sort of saying to the ones, you know, I love to travel and everything, but don't get me wrong, but it's the going home that's the best bit. Well, you're not going home.
Yeah.
Mate, you're going to live here. And there's a sort of year off stuff. No, I had this friend who just went totally native, married a local girl.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're saying
is... Do they have to get double vaxxed? Have you seen the size of the PCR test spatula
on an elephant?
Got their nose? massive masks.
I quite like that. That's good.
Yeah. It would be me having an intro saying a herd of elephants have been English elephants are being sent to Kenya to rewild, and as we all come out of lockdown and hope to go on holiday, I thought I'd have a look at how these elephants might get on at the airport, you know.
Yes.
Heading off, trying to say, where can I get some PG tips?
Yeah.
Who booked
packing
this
place? Their trunks.
That's not a sea view. I don't know. Or not. Packing their trunks.
It's not a whole column.
Okay. That's that then. See you next season.
Back if I see you first.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And by searching thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea, you can access a special offer just for you. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership.
dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.